Grace to you and peace from God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. Amen. Go back in time to December of 1999. Do you remember? Do you remember that sense of anticipation as we got ready to turn over the millennium? Now, I know there's those among you who say, well, that didn't really happen in 2001, but come on, put yourself in the spirit of it. Do you remember the anticipation? Do you remember all of the stuff going on as the millennialists and the eschatologists were all telling us the time is coming, that Jesus will come again, and everything's going to change, and it's all going to be at an end. And all of the promises will come true, and people sold their houses and gave up their IRAs. They did all kinds of, which actually in retrospect was not a bad idea. All in anticipation that the promise of Jesus was going to happen now. Afternoon of January 1, 2000. Oops. It didn't happen. And suddenly all of those people who had written books and articles and radio shows preparing us all for the coming of Jesus were busy recalculating and redoing the math. We must have made a mistake. That kind of fervor, that kind of anticipation found itself disappointed. But imagine that must have been how it was in the time of Jesus, when they had been told, this generation will not pass away before the Messiah comes again and reconciles all things to God's self. I think perhaps we should have all listened to Amos. Alas for you who desire the day of the Lord. It ain't going to be what you think. It's darkness, not light. It's as if, he says, it's as if someone fled from a lion, rounded the corner, and ran into a bear. It's like you rested your hand on the wall and were bitten by an adder. I've had days like that. So have you. That's what it's going to be like. It's not all this sweetness and light. We sometimes become so focused on the end time that we can forget the present time. The parable of the bridegroom is a wonderful way to unpack this issue of the eschaton, of the end time. You see, we wait for the bridegroom. And I love this particular parable because it's so much like our real lives. You know how it goes. There's those people, those wonderful bridesmaids who are ready. They've gone and bought a couple of gallons of extra fuel. They got up an hour early, put their makeup on. They arrived not only on time, but a half an hour early. They're ready to stay until the end. I hate those people. You know them. And then there are my sistren, you know, who got up late, went, holy smokes, I got to get to the bridegroom's party. Ran down there and realized, I got to go to Long's. You know, I forgot the present. You know those kind. Somehow they are all there in preparation, like we are all here, ready and waiting and willing for the coming of Jesus. And like them, we tend to fall asleep. I love that part of this gospel. It wasn't like the sort of really good people stayed awake. You know, everybody took a little snooze because it took forever for the bridegroom to come. And suddenly a shout goes up. The shout goes up, look, the bridegroom is here. And those who were ready got out their lamps and they trimmed them and poured oil in there. And the other said, can I borrow some oil? No. We know your types. Go down to Long's, get your own. And the moral of the story is simply this. Watch. 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 That's what we're supposed to do. And for me, that means that we shape our lives by the watching. And some of us will be ready and some of us will not. But all of us are called to watch. You see, the problem with the eschaton, quote, is that we're waiting for something that is already unfolding with us and in us and through us. The kingdom is more than just that isolated event in the future that you're sitting in the pews hoping will happen before the sermon is over. It is now. It began on the cross. And it is still unfolding among us. The question is, how shall we watch? That word is an active word, not a passive one. We watch, I think, sort of like the Beatitudes told us to watch last week, to bring comfort to those who mourn, to lift up the meek, to feed the hungry. I think we watch, as the great prophet says, with justice rolling down like streams. The watching of the church is not one like we did, some of us, in 1999 in December, with a kind of hopeful anticipation that all of our woes would come to an end and Jesus would just take care of it all. It has greater length and breadth, greater depth, and more hope than that. Our waiting is our watching. And I think the story of the bridegrooms helps us to better understand what that watching might be like. I don't think that the point of the story is the eschaton. I don't think that the point of the story is God's second coming, but rather it is about Jesus and his coming to us even now in bread and wine, in water, in word, in the very people who gather for those parties and celebrations that are accented by too few balloons and too many long faces. We have been invited to the feast with our whole being and called to share that feast with the world. That is our watching. So trim your lamps and be ready. Amen.